Did you hear that?
You're going.
Okay. There's something that I came across. I'll give you all a copy of it. It's talking about God's voice and Satan's voice. God's voice steals you. Satan's voice rushes you. God's voice leads you. Satan's voice pushes you. God's voice reassures you. Satan's voice frightens you. God's voice enlightens you. Satan's voice confuses you. God's voice encourages you. Satan's voice discourages you. Now you know what most social media and all news stations, now you know what voice you're listening to, don't you? God's voice comforts you. Satan's voice worries you. When you start listening to something and you start going down this side, the left, that side, you're going to know what voice you're hearing. God's voice calms you. Satan's voice obsesses you. He always picks out your faults and tries to get you to hone into them where you're just going chasing your tail, trying to change yourself, trying to do everything in the world to do what's right. God never asks us to change ourselves. And this one says God convicts you, which I do not believe that. The Holy Spirit convicts the world of sin. He does not convict the righteous. So I scratched that one out and put no. But Satan's voice condemns you.
Your conscience convicts you.
Well, but that's not on this list. Okay. God is never early and he's never late. He's always right on time and his plans for you are good. God is a God of love and order. If the voice you're hearing doesn't sound like those things, then you are not, they are not from him. So I was going to give you all these, and you might keep this as a reminder when you start going down an avenue and you're thinking, who is this? Lord, who is this? I don't even know who did it. Yeah, it's good. Okay, this is Sunday morning. This is 9/19/21. The teaching this morning, this is all I have this morning. It's a little longer than usual, but it's not 2 or 3. Learning to Flow in the Supernatural, Church Order, Part 19. We're going to start out, well, I just wanted to say this before I get started. God places his gifts in the church, whether it be fivefold, whether it be helps or governments and on down the line. God puts giftings in each one of us, and it is special. It's unique. And it's probably not going to be like anybody else. That's why we can't go by so much of what we see others do, because even in the fivefold ministry gifts, there is so much diversity. And you just can't put it in a box. God left the box, and we have to be open, not outside of the Bible, you understand, but we have to allow ourselves, if we don't fit into somebody's box, what does it do to us? It limits us. It discourages us. And so God doesn't put anyone inside a box. He puts his own special gifts in us for us to follow him and help him develop those gifts in us. It's not something that we try to do. That's something that I object about seminaries. Unless the Lord tells you to go to a seminary, I wouldn't dare put my toe in a seminary, because they shoot pastors out like machine gun bullets. And just because you go to some institution doesn't mean you're God called. You can just be religious called. And so we should never, Paul said, compare ourselves among ourselves. That's not wise. Because you may have something unique that you never see anybody else in the whole world have. And you should not feel like there's something wrong with you, because you do and nobody else does. Everything, every move and work of the Spirit was not written in the Word. You know that? It says the earth would be filled with the books if all the books were written about what the works that Jesus did. We got a few little spatterings. I think there's like 22 incidences or something like that. I'm probably wrong on that, but so there's a lot of diversity in the moving of the Spirit. That's why it's called moving with the Spirit. If not, it would be all listed in the books and we'd all have to line up with all of that, right? So the Spirit's going to lead you in your own way, and you need to get comfortable in your own skin. You need to get comfortable in your own giftings, and you don't need to compare yourself with anybody else. That's what religion has done. Well, if you don't do it this way and this pastor doesn't endorse you and everything, then you're nothing. If you're not male, you're nothing. This is what I came up under. And I was down all the time, discouraged all the time. Known I was called for some things, but never had anybody to encourage or to say anything to help me. Like, I don't understand, Lord, I don't understand. But see, He wants to teach us. This deal about the apostle, the Lord got my attention and drew me aside. Never had any idea about an apostle. Didn't care. Didn't. But what did He do? He began to talk to me. Remember that day that you saw that sign on that church? I said, yeah. And I had to go look it up. It said apostolic. I can't remember exactly what it said. Yeah, Lord, I remember me turning my head and looking at that, like an angel had me look at that sign. Well, it was months later, sitting in my office, having my quiet time, and the Holy Spirit says, you remember that day? Yes, I do. And that's when it started. He started turning me in a direction that I knew nothing about. And He began to show me. He began to turn me. This is how it works. It's not by our effort. It's not by how much schooling that you can get, how much book learning you know. It's all about learning to follow the Spirit. Those little inklings. Well, go here. Do this. See that sign? It's simple, gentle, yet profound. The world falls all over themselves to have this kind of wisdom. The Godhead bodily, or not body, but the Godhead inside of our bodies and our spirits. The Godhead. They can tell us all the secrets of heaven if that's within His plan to do so. Yesterday, I was listening to Nino Rodriguez and 107, and 107 says, yeah, I have a friend, and she's got a really weird son. And he goes, oh, really? How so? He says, well, he comes in there. We're having a conversation. Mom, Mom, Mom. He's only 7. I thought at first, grown man? Come on. Anyway, he's only 7. He said, Mom, there's angels all around the house and inside and outside. She said, is that so? He said, yeah. He said, they told me that this time, in our nation, everybody needs a whole lot more protection, so they're here. I think that's not weird to me. I think send him to my house. See, this is the way like a child listens to the father. Just, you know, I hope no one ever discourages him or says something to him, that he doesn't lose that childlike receiving of seeing the supernatural. I know, I don't remember it, but I know. There was a big bird in my room, I tell my mom. There was always a big bird in my room. I'm convinced. There it is. But we grow up and we lose that. The world begins to tarnish us and we begin to lose that freshness. But God wants that to remain. The kingdom of God is like a little child. Now you can see why God is so angry with those that have touched his little ones, the way they embrace him and embrace the kingdom of God. They don't have any limitations or hesitations. Can you see why Satan targets them? All the ugly things you remember that were done to you as a child and growing up and things, and hurts and wounds, to weight us down to where we think, and the Lord's saying, I was there all the time. Even through all of that, God has been with us. God is leading us. He has never left us. I got saved at 11 years old. I remember that day that I got born again. It was such a traumatic experience. I sat up on the clothesline pole and sang hymns all afternoon. They probably thought I'd gone around the bend. But it was a time. It was timely because our parents split up right after that. And it was very traumatic. My whole world was gone, and from then on it was nothing but hardness. God did that for me, I believe. He made it such, that's why I don't understand people that act like the devil and say they're Christians, because I'm thinking, my conversion was so traumatic, there was never a doubt I changed that day. It's real easy to say I'm a Christian, but you know what, it's a change. It's a change. So I want to encourage y'all today, whatever God's called you to do is the best thing in the world that anybody's ever been called to. Because he doesn't grade on apostle to the Sunday school worker to whatever. He doesn't, all he looks at, did you do what I asked you to do? Yes, sir, I did. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. We're not in a competition. In fact, this is a lot of what I'm going to talk on this morning. It's not about a competition. Never has been, but the church has become nothing but a competition. My church is bigger than your church. Ha, 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 ha. I know people. They didn't think we had anything because we didn't have the numbers. And that's how they gauge everything. It's the first thing out of the mouth. Yeah, we had 800 Sunday morning. Well, praise God. You know, what are you going to do about that? What are you going to say about that? If that's all you got, that ain't much. How many of them are whipping the devil? How many of them are success in life? How many of them are obeying God? How many of them are using their faith? See, these are the gauges. Are they equipped? Are they ready to go out and stand and do what they're supposed to do as Christians? Do you know any people like that besides yourselves? I might have seen a few on TV that seems like they do. Maybe read a few books. It appears they do too. But as far as anybody that I really know, besides y'all, I know. So what really matters? Not numbers. Gideon's army is a prime example of that. God wasn't interested in the masses that showed up. All he was interested in is those that did things certain ways that he approved of. The watchful. Nothing's going to get past me. We're each uniquely made, uniquely gifted. We're not to compare ourselves among ourselves. That is not wise. So stop it. In fact, the Holy Spirit spoke to me. When you're raised up in a religious atmosphere, it's hard to get religious thinking out of your mind when it comes to your own calling and everything else. And so I just said, Lord, my mind is just a blank about what you want to do. I know what you've spoken to me, but I said, as far as trying to figure out and try to imagine what you're going to do and how you're going to do it, I've come up bust all these many, 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 many decades. So I don't care. I really don't. I just want to know I'm following Him. And that should be the goal of each one of us. Lord, however you're going to use me, whatever way, help me not to put myself in a box. Because when we do that, then it limits Him to be able to do in us what He needs to do. You get these mindsets that this means this and this means that, when it really doesn't. If there's anything I've learned and we've learned in the last 7 years has been this. God's not religious. And I had to unlearn everything pretty well that I learned. Still happening. And learn about things that I never knew about, never heard of. But the teacher of the church lives on the inside. And He is there to teach you what you need to know. If you got a question, ask Him. See, that's what the church is all about, being led by the Spirit, being taught by the Spirit. Jesus was Holy Ghost taught, so was Paul, so was Moses, so was Joshua, all of them, Joseph. That is Bible norm. Did you know that? We used to think, oh, just a rare few like Paul. No, anyone that was anyone in the Word of God went through those years. Every one of them. All right. We're going to look at our foundational scriptures here right quick. Matthew 7. So don't judge yourself. You have no right to look at yourself and criticize yourself or berate yourself. It's none of your business. Did you get that? It's God's business. You're dead. And your new real life is hid with Christ in God. When you look at it that way, here a few days ago, I started feeling that condemnation come on me about certain things. And I just stopped and I said, Lord, if I've done something I shouldn't have done, you let me know. Other than that, devil, shut your mouth. I'm doing exactly what God's told me to do. You know what? It left. All right, Matthew 7. It is my heart's desire that the body of Christ be free like Jesus intended for us to be free. What he did on the cross to set us free, to make us completely free. And I'm so ready for people to quit trying to bring us back under the lash. Whether it be in religious things, or any way at all. I'm so ready to just be free. Not have people criticize everything you do because it doesn't line up with their religious box. I'm not being criticized, don't get me wrong. I'm just saying, God never intended for it to be that way. He intended it for it to be, well, we're a body that aid each other, come to each other's aid and help flow as one, accept each part is precious because each part plays a part. And without that part, there's a big gaping hole and it puts pressure and hardness on the rest of the body when that part is not functioning right. We've been so dysfunctional as the body of Christ. I just want to see the restoration of that. All right, Matthew 7:24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. This was the first thing the Lord ever spoke to me about the office of the apostle, that the church had not been able to prevail. The rains came and destroyed the church because it was not founded on what I'm talking about right here. It wasn't on the rock. The rock of his word. All right. All right, I'll just read to you my thoughts here. The first thing the Lord spoke to me about order in the church was that because the apostle, for the most part, and in many cases the prophet either, that the church has been out of divine order. Therefore, the devil has been able to infiltrate the church, cause the church to be ineffective. How are we ineffective? First of all, the Great Commission. In 2005, Brother Oral Roberts had a vision called the wake-up call. In it, the Lord said to him that there were only five ministries right now that were fully obeying God and the Great Commission. This is a travesty, but it is now that we need to understand the cesspool of which we are now all enduring because of this. God told Israel this, "But if ye will not drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you, then it shall come to pass that those which ye let remain of them shall be pricks in your eyes and thorns in your sides and shall vex you in the land wherein ye dwell." Are you vexed? Joshua 23:13. "Know for certainty that the Lord your God will no more drive out any of these nations from before you, but they will let President Trump do it. Yeah. But they shall be snares and traps unto you, and scourges in your sides, and thorns in your eyes, until ye perish from off the good land which the Lord your God hath given you." Did that commission go away? Don't believe so. We have our own land. All right, Judges 2, 1 through 4. Y'all there? "And an angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Bochim and said, I made you to go up out of Egypt and have brought you unto the land which I swear unto your fathers. And I said, I will never break my covenant with you. And you shall make no league with the inhabitants of this land. Ye shall throw down their altars, but ye have not obeyed my voice. Why have you done this? Wherefore I said, also said, I will not drive them out from before you, but they shall be as thorns in your sides, and their gods shall be a snare unto you. And it came to pass, when the angel of the Lord spake these words unto all the children of Israel, that the people lifted up their voice and wept." People can blame everybody. It's the Republicans. No, it's the Democrats. No, it's Donald Trump. It's his fault. But whenever we look in the mirror, we can see we didn't do what the Lord said to run these boogers off. Now, they become thorns in our eyes, pricks in our side, or pricks in our eyes, thorns in our side. All right. Generation after generation were warned about this. Old Testament, New Testament, doesn't matter. God gave us the land as well as he gave them the land. We have a responsibility to maintain it. The church is supposed to be the occupying force here. Anytime we do it other than God's way, or the way he said do it, we are headed for trouble and ruination. Hell has prevailed in our nation and the world. The USA is a city on a hill. The whole world is watching, and they are. They're watching to see what's going to happen here, because they know as goes the USA, so goes the world. They know if we make it, they make it. Okay, now Matthew chapter 16. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and some Jeremias, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father who is in heaven. And I say unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So we have the ability as the church to bind and loose the devil. So why is he so loose and running roughshod over everything? Because we didn't take our keys. We had the key to the city. We didn't use them. I'm talking about church as a whole. All right, we must get in order. All right, Matthew, I read all that. We must get in order, continue to confess the church is in divine order, based on the apostles and prophets, with Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. The power struggle has to stop. All right? And we have to do what he's anointed each one of us to do. All right, let me find something I'm going to read to y'all. This has been a problem, a major problem in the church. The test, public accountability. How seriously are the prophets taking this expressed desire to test their prophecies with each other before they are announced, and the responsibility for them after they are announced? So many prophets, when President Trump, you know, the election was stolen, and so they came out publicly and said they missed it, and it confused the whole body of Christ. I even had someone ask me, how come the prophets missed it so bad? I don't know if she meant me, but I said they didn't. And I said, there's some maturity lacking in the prophets who did, to not trust the words of God that God gave them. They should not have backed down. Now, the more mature ones, they didn't back down off their word. They know. But anyway, if it's judged before it's announced, it saves a lot of face, right? I'm glad to report that at least the members of the Apostolic Council of Prophetic Elders are very serious. On November 30th, 1999, the day before the World Congress on Prayer and Intercession held in Colorado Springs, a meeting of the ACPE was held to discuss what the Lord seemed to be saying for the new millennium. The prophetic words were exchanged among those present, mutually judged and written in a document. A word upon entering the new millennium. During an evening plenary session of the conference, Cindy Jacob, she's still alive, she's an older prophet in the body of Christ, but she's a very powerful one from what I understand. Cindy Jacobs called to the platform seven of the ACPE members who were present, including me. This is C. Peter Wagner. I explained to the audience that I have been trying to say in this chapter, namely that there is a desire on the part of many prophets to hold themselves accountable to the public for their prophecies. I then proceeded to read verbatim the prophecies that were issued from the meeting of the ACPE on January 27, 1999, which had circulated widely through the media, also from the current November 30 document. The January prophecies dealt with international alliances like Y2K, economic shakings, terrorism, you know, we had 9/11, Colorado Springs, humility, President Clinton in coming days of glory, stressing that prophecy is conditional and calling for fervent intercession. To me, prophecy is more of a warning. If we do what we need to do, then we stop what's coming. The November prophecies dealt with Russia, especially Russian Jews, a youth revival, a signs and wonders evangelism movement, worship in stadiums, women economic shakings, weather patterns, see there's that weather warfare, the apostles and prophets movement, holiness, international alliances in the Northeast United States. I read each prophecy from the past, which had been in the public domain for 10 months, and then each of the new ones. I paused after each prophecy, and Cindy Jacobs and different prophets standing on the platform made appropriate comments as the Lord directed. I believe this was a first, with a number of prophets led by an apostle standing before an audience of 1,500 holding themselves accountable, individually and collectively, to the wider body of Christ. The spiritual impact was incredible, and I believe the prophetic movement has risen to a new level. The harness makes a difference. I'm talking to you about being a team, being secure in who God says we are, not what everybody else says. Well, you don't do this, so you can't be. Understand?
Yeah.
All right. By way of conclusion, let me flash back once more to the draft horse pool. In one of the last heavyweight horse pools that Doris and I attended, one of the traces on the harness, a leather strap connecting the horse collar to the wiffle tree, snapped as the horses lurched forward to pull the sled. As a result, the team was automatically disqualified. For all we know, they could have been the two strongest draft horses in the nation, but they could not win the contest without a sound harness. This is the same with apostles and prophets today. We cannot have the best possible foundation for the church of the future unless we have genuine apostles and genuine prophets. But the gifts and the offices are not enough. It is only when apostles and prophets are properly harnessed and pulling together that the kingdom of God will advance throughout the world as God desires it to advance in our generation. All right. All right, this is a part two. He said, Calvin accurately understood the cultural mandate. He taught that God's people have a responsibility to bring society into alignment with the kingdom of God. But his blind spot was his lack of connection with the power of the Holy Spirit. While I mentioned Benjamin Breckinridge Warfield as a recent theological advocate of secessionism, it should be added that Warfield's chief source was John Calvin. History could have turned out quite differently in Europe had Calvin understood how essential supernatural power is for implementing the cultural mandate in transforming society. Even among some leaders today who should know better, the power of the Holy Spirit is not front and center. I agree with Robin McMillan, who says, to transform society, each generation must operate at a higher spiritual level than the preceding one by having a progressive experience of His power. Sadly, some Christians have had very little experience with the supernatural dimension of God. Many other believers have known His power but allowed their experience to diminish over time. See, without the Holy Spirit, without us all pulling together and having accountability, there's no road forward. Okay. We must carry on the legacy that they started. Many of them have passed away now. We must pick up the torch and keep the flame burning. The body of Christ is a team. We are not to act like the world and its system. This has been a major problem in the church. This is that mantra, my church is bigger than your church. It can no longer be our mantra. Okay, Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 7. You know how you can know what your gifting is? What flows in your life? What's like pulling teeth and what flows? It's a pretty good indication. What do you succeed at? And I mean by succession, that doesn't mean by your own merit. I'm talking about, you know, God has anointed you and it just seems to flow. The grace is just there. Pretty obvious to me. God's grace is on something or it isn't on something. All right. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, gave gifts unto men. I never understood why some think everybody has to do it the same. If everybody does it the same, only that one thing would get done, right? Now that he ascended, what is but that he also descended first to the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. It didn't just say the pastor, which that's pretty well what we see in the church today. It's only part of the team. A draft horse team can't be one horse. It has to be two. Or more. I don't know. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. For whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. See, we've got to mature. We've got to mature. That is what this is all about. You know, I was thinking about, I don't know what chapter in 1 Corinthians, is it 12, somewhere around in there, where it talks about the gifts of the Spirit, and it talks about the prophets in the church, that they talked about, let there only be three, you know, and if one's speaking, let the other one sit down, let another speak. 14, okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Learning to defer. See, this is a servanthood. What do servants do? They defer. I heard Brother Keith Moore say this. He said, if someone older in the faith, I don't care who they are, comes in, I'm going to defer my pulpit to them. No matter what I have to speak about that morning, he said, I will defer. I'm thinking, wow. I've seen just the opposite. You ain't dare get in my pulpit. Yeah? But see, what does that show? I'm not all there. I'm not all that. I'm just a servant of the Lord just like you. It's an example of deferring, of servanthood. Like, well, I'm the only one who has this, and so nobody else can fill my place. Well, that's true to a certain degree, but we are to defer to one another. And that's what the article I read you about, that's what that conference was about. It was prophets coming together with an apostle to bring forth what the Lord had said to them and to judge it among themselves. To make sure what was right was coming forth to the people. Do you see why the church has gotten where it was? See, what God, when God puts things in order, they work, okay? See, this isn't about a power grab. It's not about somebody losing their church. It's about flowing with the Holy Spirit. Quit letting the devil kick our backside so much because we don't do things properly. Well, I'm a Paul. I'm a Paul. It's Paul, it was going on in his day. He had to correct that. Well, who's Paul? Who's this one? Who's that one? Nothing. It's God. It's not about an individual personality. It's about individuals with the giftings of God in them that have wisdom to put the church on course and keep it on course to fulfill the Great Commission for the most part. Okay. The body of Christ and leaders are going to have to be retrained. Possibly the Lord will have us doing that. We will see. Because this is the goal. This is Psalms 133. When everything's in order, the anointing flows on the entire body. Not just the leaders. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garments, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. He wants his anointing from the top all the way down on the body of Christ. Each of us moving as a body, where he wants us to go, many parts doing many things, all anointed by the Holy Spirit. When we finally get together as a team, then look out. Nothing will be able to stop us, not even the gates of hell. They will no longer prevail. Here are the fivefold ministry lineup and their particular anointings. The first one is the apostle. The apostle is a delegate, specifically an ambassador of the gospel, officially a commissioner of Christ with miraculous powers. Prophets, they are foretellers, an inspired speaker, a poet. That's why minstrels and those that are given to psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. Evangelist, a preacher of the gospel. Pastor, a shepherd of the sheep. That's why churches don't do anything, don't go anywhere, because they're just led by pastors. All they know to do is stay with the sheep. They don't venture out. They don't take the commission. They're doing their part, but the parts that need to go with it are not with it. You understand? Teacher and instructor. We are a team and we are accountable to one another. All right, I already read that. Public accountability. Yeah, okay. This was from the Lord to me. The Lord said this to me many years ago, that the foundation of the apostles and prophets were not just the apostles of the Lamb. This has been many years ago. It wasn't just the apostles of the Lamb and the apostles in the early church, but that all apostles and prophets would bring revelation from the chief cornerstone to lay a good foundation for the church of their times. Times and seasons change. God does not. But we must move with Him to keep up and not get into building our own denominations based off of experiences that cause the church to stop and not to progress. Kind of like Peter and the three, you know, one built a temple, one for Moses, one for Elijah, you know, based on an experience. You just stop right there. The church of the transformation or transfiguration. I know that that is contrary to what we've all been taught, but there it is. All ministers are in danger of developing into a country club mentality, exclusive and not inclusive. Exclusive and not inclusive. That's why you feel like the bastard at the family reunion when you go to one. Well, you're not a member here. And it's so hard to walk in. I've heard so many people say that. I feel so awful when I go in. It doesn't feel like we belong here. It doesn't feel friendly. It feels like we're outsiders, you know? Shouldn't be that way. Most ministers today believe that they must have a band and a choir and the latest technology to do what God has called them to do. They don't venture beyond their four walls. They put on dramas, etc., to lure the fish in. Jesus did not say to lure the fish in. He said, "Cast out your net, all you fishers of men." He meant for us to go where the fish are. I'm talking about the church. Now you can see why Satan has tried to keep the apostles and prophets out of their rightful place. They have the plan. They have been given the plan, not by man, but from Jesus, the chief cornerstone. The prophets have the vision from God. The apostles have the grace to carry the vision out. Now see the church of today for the most part, and we see where we have missed it. We just see our little country clubs. That's all. Now you know why I don't like country clubs. What did Jesus say before He left? We're going to read this. This is Matthew 28. He didn't say, "Well, I want you to build a big building. I want you to have a big praise and worship team. I want you to have big old dramas. You don't ask everybody." And but our kid youth, they need programs. Really? Teach them how to win the loss. Send them out. Teams. Greatest thing they'll ever do is get the lost born again. The power of God shows up, taking it to the streets. That's where whenever the apostles were out on the streets. What happened? Miracles is what happened. When Jesus went out on the streets, miracles. All right, Matthew 28:19. Go ye, therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Mark 16. We'll start with 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. This is the very first complete what he laid down right there. None of all the son of crud. That's what he laid down right there. All right. He that believeth is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Everyone has the choice. Everyone right now. This is a crucial time. I guess you've been watching about Nicki Minaj. Yeah. She's a black woman that sings, and she's very well-known, Illuminati. But she knew someone, I think it was a family member, had the shot, and that he was going to get married, and now it's settled in his, privates, and now he's can't have children. And this got her to thinking, no, she just had a baby, and so she don't want to take it. So now the deep state's pushing back on her, but she's got 70 million viewers. Is it 70 million or 700 million? I don't know. Nicki Minaj in it, or Jiggy?
Nicki Minaj or something.
Like that. Very popular among, probably millennials and different things like that. But you talk about a red pill. She's red pilling a group of people that none of us could ever get to. Waking her. Oh no, she's Illuminati. But she's getting her eyes open, see? She's getting a look at the other side. But he that believeth not shall be damned. Jesus put it pretty cut and dried. You go and tell them. If they say they don't want me, fine. Leave. Go somewhere else. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. This is what he laid down. The words of Jesus, the chief cornerstone himself. He said, go! So what did Jesus tell us to do? Go! And all we've done is stay. What is the pastor perspective? Don't go beyond your own sheep pen, which that's what the pastors do. They take care of the sheep. We cannot obey Jesus without all five gifts working as a team. Without it, we cannot advance forward. No more country club mentality. Only members welcome here. Satan has infiltrated our churches, and the gates of hell have prevailed against because of competition instead of commission. Competition over commission. The church as a whole has no vision and no power to carry out the vision. Why? They won't embrace the apostle and prophet. Every pastor should be seeking an apostle to hook up with. I venture to say that most apostles already have prophets in their life that can speak into their life and confirm the vision that God is giving them. This is at least accountability. Pray, pastor. There's pastors listening to me. Pray, pastors. This is God's will. And God will lead you to them. We are a team, a body that works together for the greater good, for the good of the whole body. Pastors have the vision for their individual flocks and stay with their flocks. The apostle sees the bigger vision, a broader scope. They carry God's vision for territories beyond them, not just what is in front of them. They, in other words, have the bigger picture. With this working together, the Great Commission gets fulfilled and the saints are matured. We're in a time right now that the old guard are going to be removed, especially those that cannot change their wineskin. It is not possible to move forward without this happening. New wine can't be put into the old bottles. In Revelation 2 and 3, Jesus talks to John about the seven churches. He said if they did not correct certain things, their candlestick would be removed. It is time to stop the competition. My church is bigger than your church competition power play. It's time to get in divine order and work together. I want to hear when the Lord opens the books and looks what is recorded. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. That's what I want to hear. You did what I told you to do. God has begun the removing of the tares from the wheat. This is Matthew 25. Y'all, this is going down right now. I have never had such a sense of it is going down right now. It's been going down for a while, but it is really, we are in the heat, in the thick of it right now. All right, 25:31. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory, and before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. He shall set the sheep on His right hand, the goats on the left. Then shall the King say unto them on His right hand, Come, ye blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the King shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was a hunger, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, you took me not in. Naked, and you clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and you visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer unto them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. I was thinking about the one. Do you know where that scripture is where it talks about, Well, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name? Do mighty works in your name? I never knew you. Okay. It will be a sad day when these big mega churches, the country club, worshipentainment, and establishment hear those words, I never knew you, a sad day. Indeed. Why would the Lord say that? Jesus said that He was the way, the truth, and the life, and no one can come to the Father except through Him. He said that His sheep hear His voice. Did you find it?
Not yet. Keep going.
All right, turn to John 10. Verse 1, Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. When he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. You know, I think a lot of pastors realize, you know, they don't realize it, these are not your sheep. These are the Lord's sheep. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I'm come that they might have life and have that, and that they might have it more abundantly. I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd layeth down his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling and cares not for the sheep. I'm the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall not hear my voice. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, I have power to take it again. This is the commandment have I received of my Father. Did you find it?
Matthew 7:22.
Okay. Matthew 7:21. All right, Matthew 7:21. Well, let's just start with 13. It says here, enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns, or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. So they're not doing it his way. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of God, but he that doeth the will of my Father, who is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, many will say to me that day, many. Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many mighty wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man who built his house upon a rock. Here we go again, right at the where I began. Building your house on the rock. And then the rain descended, and the floods came and blew. Winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. What? His word. Jesus is the word. Jesus is the rock. Founded upon that rock. Okay. All right, John 10, we just read that. Their song is, I did it my way. It will not wash on that day. All the tares are going to be burned up in the lake of fire. 1 Corinthians 3. Paul speaking here, saying, and I, brethren, could not speak, verse 1, unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envy and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul? Who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder. I have laid the foundation, another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. He's the cornerstone. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. All right, I want to read the song, the words to this song to you, my way. And now the end is here, and so I face the final curtain. I've lived a life that's full. I traveled each and every highway, and much more. I did it my way. This is Frank Sinatra here. Regrets, I've had a few, but then again, too few to mention. I did what I had to do. I saw it through without exemption. I planned each charted course, each careful step along the byway, and more, much, much more. I did it my way. There's going to be a lot of people below that did this. Yes, there were times, I'm sure you knew, when I bit off more than I could chew. But through it all, where there was doubt, I ate it up and spit it out. I faced it all and I stood tall and I did it my way. For what is a man? What has he got? If not himself, then he has not. That's a sad man, isn't it? Not to say the things that he truly feels, let the record show I took all the blows and did it my way. It would not surprise me if in the lake of fire that this song will be played on a continual loop night and day as part of the torment for those that did it their way instead of God's way.